Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by the God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone sees the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. The word of the Lord.
I'm wrestling with a corpse, and I'm losing. I start out strong, like I'm mentally prepared. I feel, of course, that I have an advantage because I'm alive. We start out circling. Well, I'm circling. He's dead. So, in truth, he's not even standing, just sort of like placed there on the floor, folded over on himself. I know you're thinking this is unfair. I thought that too at first because obviously if I can stand up and circle around and, you know, move, while he can, I guess, just be folded over on himself with his face pressed down into the mat by the dead weight of the rest of his body and just be dead, then I would have an unfair advantage. I know it seems that way. But hey, I'm the one that placed him there. And I tried repeatedly to put him in a more like wrestling position, but this was the best I could do. Most of the time I set him up and he just flipped over and fell down, shoulders against the mat, pinned before we even started. This folded over on himself is the sort of dead flesh pile. I mean, that was the best I could do. So we start out and I'm circling, you know, checking him out, trying to read him. See if he's telegraphing his first move, revealing any of his strategy. But you know, he's not. So I'm circling around behind him, and I'm there, and I see a weakness. He's folded over on his face on the mat, neck bent in an unnatural way under the pressure of the rest of his body, like I mentioned. But I see now that his arms are just sort of lying limp on the mat, pointing straight behind him. He's left himself vulnerable. So I attack. I pounce on him from behind, throwing the whole weight of my body into him as I'm grabbing for each arm. But somehow he gets me. He gets a hold on me. I don't know how. I didn't see it coming. I mean, he didn't see me coming. What is his strategy? I end up flat, face down on the mat, and he's on top of me. Now I figure obviously he's going to try and roll me, so I get a leg out. And then he just stops. He doesn't move. And of course, I realize that he's not moving because he's dead, but still I wait. At this point, I start to really think about what I'm doing. Not like thinking about what I'm doing in the sense of what my next move is, but in the sense of I am wrestling a corpse. And it starts to creep me out a little bit. Well, it really creeps me out a little bit. And I know you're thinking, hello, would you come by bus? You're wrestling a corpse. It's like the creepiest thing in the world. I know. Of course I know. I should stop. And I would have. But, you know, I'm losing. And I hate to quit when I'm losing, especially to a corpse. I have my pride. And besides, I'm not just wrestling this corpse for something to do. This isn't just idle fun. I have a purpose. I'm doing a Jacob. You know how Jacob wrestled with the angel because he wanted a blessing? He held on all night until he got his blessing. This is what I'm doing. I want something. I want to know something. I have a question. I want my blessing. So I'm wrestling. And I don't have an angel to wrestle with. You know, you have to work with what you have. I have this corpse. And besides, I have no problems with any angel. My beef's with him. So I wrestle him. It starts with this. He says, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. And no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty. It's simple. I just want to know what the hell that could possibly mean. I am the bread of life. No one comes to me. And no one who comes to me will ever again hunger. And no one who believes in me will ever again be thirsty. I mean, I know it's not to be taken literally because, well, have there ever been anyone who came to Jesus, who believed in Jesus, that was hungry and thirsty? Yes, of course. And I mean, I don't know anyone personally who's hungry and thirsty, whether they believe in Jesus or not, but that's simply a mistake of my birth and my own ignorance. But obviously there are and have been Jesus believers who hunger and thirst. So then it means something else. It's metaphorical. When Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he means in the Old Testament sort of way. The bread that came down from heaven was a metaphor for revelation, the revelation of God. So maybe it means that as a result of Jesus revealing something from God to us, we will never again hunger and thirst after righteousness, which whatever that is, or hunger and thirst for knowledge or wisdom or meaning. So if you're a Jesus believer, you no longer have to long for those things. You are satisfied. You are filled. Something has been revealed to you, and you are filled with righteousness, whatever, filled with knowledge, filled with wisdom, filled with meaning. Can that be right? I mean, I am a Jesus believer, and I am not even sure what righteousness is. I hunger for knowledge. I thirst for wisdom. I long for meaning. I can never get enough meaning. I want as much meaning as I can get. Where's the revelation? What am I to assume? That I have not really come to Jesus? I do not really believe in Jesus? Because, you know, sometimes I feel like I have meaning in my life. I don't know. A lot of times I feel strongly that it is Jesus that gives me some meaning, or the Jesus story that gives my life meaning. But I want more. How come I want more? Why am I sometimes so unsatisfied? Is it because I don't believe enough? I believe as much as I can. And isn't that his job to satisfy me, to fill me up? I'm hungering and thirsting here. You were supposed to do something about that. This makes me mad. This makes me mad. So dead or not, I make a move. I push up with my arms and my legs and roll him off of my back. I spin around and I go for a cradle hold. I put my right arm under his neck and my left arm under his legs where they bend at the knee and try to rock him back on his shoulders to pin him. But he has somehow gotten his arms around my torso, and then he doesn't move. I've seen this before, this not moving trick. I can wait it out. There's another way to understand this besides literally or as a metaphor for revelation. That is as an illusion to that. It's hard not to think of this communion meal that the church has been participating in since day one, with this talk of hunger and thirst, eating and drinking, the bread and the cup. He says, He is the bread of life. He is the bread. The bread is his body and his blood. We eat and drink it every week. But that, of course, raises a bigger question. What does that mean? I mean, what does that mean? What does it mean? I mean, I do it whenever I can. I do it twice a week. Is it a remembrance? Is it some kind of cannibalistic reenactment? I am Jacob. I want answers. Is Jesus both revelation and daily bread, the bread of communion? Is it this, having once lost God by eating some poison fruit taken into my mouth, the lie of my own goodness tasted, the pretend power that the world can be seen and understood from my own perspective, that through my eyes and with my mind I can know it, figure it out, and as a result of all that have condemned myself to death? The old book says, if you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. And further, that first book says they were driven out of the garden. And now, wandering, dying, and alone, I find that God has come after me, offering me something to eat instead. If you eat this bread, you will live forever. And any that come to me, I will never drive out. Is this the revelation that God has come, is present with me now? Is this what we celebrate in this meal? I don't know. It's all too neat or too confusing. What does this mean? I try to rock him back, to touch his shoulders to the mat and pin him, but I'm weak now, and he's heavy. I rock him back and back and forth again. And as I do, his arms around my torso move from the motion, and it feels almost like he's comforting me, stroking my back. I am not Jacob. I cannot win. I have no answers. But it is enough for now to be holding God in my arms and for God to be holding me.